Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Shir at Midrash Yom Rishon. Today we are learning about when Cain killed Hevel. And when I was on Simchas Torah this year, and I was going through Parshas Bereishis, as I do every year, and I realized that all I really know about when Cain killed Hevel is that he was jealous of his brother because God accepted his korban. His korban was not accepted, and here we have the first murder. And when we learn through Parshas Bereishis, very often, I think, but it could just be my perspective, the story of Cain and Hevel gets skipped over from in-depth learning. I mean, how could you not focus on Maaseh Bereishis? And how could you not focus on the creation of Adam and his wife? And what about Perek Gimel and the first sin which brought death and the Yetzer Hara into our very real world? By the end of Parshas Bereishis we meet, the people are starting to turn on the wrong way. And then somewhere in there, in chapter 4, you have the story of two brothers and sibling rivalry and murder. And I thought it would be very, very interesting for all of us, I hope, to have an in-depth shiur on exactly what happened with Cain and Hevel. Why do we have this murder, the consequences of this murder, and the motivation for this murder. So if you look in your packet, the first thing I gave you is really the psukim. Let's just look at the psukim that tell us what happened. Everyone should please have a source packet. So we're in Bereishis, we're in Perek Dalet. Let's look at the psukim. This is after the first sin. Adam yada es Chava ishto. Adam knew Chava, his wife, and she conceived, and she gave birth to Cain. Vatomer, and she said, Kanisi ish es Hashem. I have acquired a man with Hashem. How's the amplification, by the way? Is it okay? Could everyone hear it's clear? Okay. So Rashi says there's something very, very interesting. Vaha Adam yada, Adam had known his wife. Rashi points out that Cain was conceived and born when they were still in Gan Eden, pre-sin. Okay. Furthermore, im Hashem, kanisi ish as Hashem. Rashi says im Hashem. I conceived a man, I acquired a man with Hashem. Furthermore, Rashi tells us there was twins born from the word es Cain, ve es achiv es Hevel. You learn that there were twins born. There were twin girls born with Cain, and there were also born with Hevel. So you have the birth. Vatosef l'ladas es achiv es Hevel. She continues to give birth to his brother to Hevel. And Hevel is a ro etzon. He is a shepherd. The Cain haya oved adama. Cain is a farmer. Vayhi miketi amim. It's after a period of time. And Cain brings from the fruits of the ground a mincha. He brings an offering to Hashem. Rashi points out there from the poorest. It was not a nice offering. Furthermore, the Medrash tells us, zera pishtan haya. It was flax seed. Flax seed is linen. That is going to play a point here. He brought an offering from the ground. It wasn't a nice offering. It was flax, which is linen. The Hevel, he vegam who? You know what? Hevel also brings an offering from the firstborn of his flocks and from their fats. And what happens? Hashem turns to Hevel and his offering, and to Cain and his offering, God does not turn. Now, who brought the offering first? Who's the oldest child? Cain. Cain, vayichar l'Cain me'od. He's very disturbed. He's angry. He's more than disturbed. He's angry. Vayiplu panav, and his face fell. We have anger and we have despondency. We are going to talk about the two different emotions here soon. Vayomer Hashem al Cain. So Hashem sees that Cain is angry and he's depressed. Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? Again, the two different emotions that he experiences after his brother's offering has been accepted. Halo im teitiv se'es. Is it not true? Rashi says, claim this according to Targum Unklus. If you improve your actions, it will be forgiven. Im lo se'etiv. If you don't improve your actions, lapatach chatas rovetz. Your sin is crouching at the door. Elecha teshukaso, its longing is towards you. Isn't it true? Rashi says this is the Yetzer Hara. Isn't it true that the Yetzer Hara longs to bring us down? But ata timshalba, however, you have the capacity to rule over sin. You can, if you improve, rule over your Yetzer Hara. This is what God says. Cain does not answer. Pasuk ches. Vayomer Cain al Hevel achiv. Cain says to Hevel his brother, an unfinished sentence. What does he say? We don't know, we're going to explore. When they were in the field, Cain gets up to Hevel his brother, and he kills him, murder. So God says to Cain, where's Hevel your brother? Pasuk Tes, he says, I don't know. Am I the guardian of my brother? And God says, what did you do? The bloods of your brother is screaming at me from the earth. You are more cursed than the earth that opens its mouth to take the blood of your brother from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield to you. Remember, that's a big curse for him, because what was his profession? He was a farmer. So now God says, you're going to work the ground. It will not yield to you. You'll become a wanderer. You will become a nomad. You will be someone who is wandering the earth. Cain says to God, Gadol avoni minso. My sin, is it really so great to bear? You have banished me today from the face of the earth. Can I hide from you? I'm going to become a wanderer in the land. I'm in Pasuk Yudal, and everyone who finds me is going to kill me. And God said, no one can kill Cain. It's like it's a threat, an open-ended threat. Therefore, said God, anyone who kills Cain, after 7 generations, he will suffer revenge. Hashem put an imprint of his letter on Cain's forehead. No one's allowed to kill him. Pasuk Tazayin, Cain went, and he's banished. So this is the overview of the psukim that tell us about the murder of Cain and Hevel. What's going on? Let's look a little bit deeper into understanding the scenario and the situation. We'll bring a number of Mefarshim, we'll look at the Medrash inside, we'll see what Chazal have to say, and at the end we'll sort of tie it all together. Rav Sham Shirfal Hirsch points out on what she named her son, Pasuk Aleph, Kanisi Ish Es Hashem. She says, I have acquired a man with Hashem. Rav Sham Shirfal Hirsch says, we see from her name that the first, a later reaction of the first mother is a feeling of self-pride. Not pride with God, but self-pride. Kanisi, what does it mean? Rashi says it's Im Hashem. Rashi explains, I know, I did not give you Rashi. I understand. Rashi says Im Hashem, I'm telling you how the Mefarshim explain, and this is what Rav Sham Shirfal Hirsch says. It indicates a feeling of self-pride. That's what he says, which constituted a distortion of the image of motherhood. A mother imbued with the proper spirit of duty would have first remembered God. Kanisi, what comes first? I come first. What comes second? Hashem. A mother with the proper image, says Rav Hirsch, especially the first mother, should not have felt self-pride. She puts herself first. First, she should have thought of her duties and her tasks that come with God's gift. This self-pride reflects a distorted attitude. It was a display, says Rav Sham Shirfal Hirsch, of egotism. And here he says, the mother may have passed this egotism and self-pride onto who? Her son. A person very often, especially when you learn through the Chumash, it becomes fascinating to look at the names of the biblical personalities and how they really live up to the power within their name. I'll tell you one, Balaam can be seen as a contraction of Bala'am. His task was to swallow a nation. He was trying to swallow up, so to speak, the B'nai Israel. A person becomes the embodiment of their name. Rav Sham Shirfal Hirsch says she passed this feeling of Kanisi. Who comes first? I come first. I acquired unto her son this feeling of egotism, because his name expresses even greater self-pride. It is possible, says Rav Hirsch, that Cain was born in Gan Eden, which is what Rashi tells us as well, born in paradise. The happy mother named him Cain. She had acquired him by her own efforts. However, by the time her second son is born, anxiety, says Rav Sham Shirfal Hirsch, gnawed at her heart. A child in such circumstances is likely to be an additional burden. He's explaining that Cain was born pre-sin, and she's elated. I am acquired. I'm the master of my world. In fact, she was the master of her world pre-sin. She passed this pride onto her child. By the time Hevel is born post-sin, according to her, she brings down only Cain is born in Gan Eden. Now anxiety gnaws at her heart. And her second child is seen as a burden rather than an element of pride or a gift. Hevel, transitoriness. Hevel, Havel, Havelim. The first child is infused with excessive pride. I have acquired. Her despondency and her realization at the futility of her life. Because when she ate from the fruit and she gives Adam to eat from the tree, what happens? What does God say then? There you eat from the fruit, you will surely die. She has brought, despite her name, Aim Kol Chai, she has brought death to the world, and she realizes the futility, Havel Havalim, Hakol Havel, the futility of life, that man lives only to die. And she named her second son Hevel, a shadow of doom, a shadow of death, The fate of man has descended upon Hevel. She sees the hopelessness in her ultimate death, which she brought to the world, and she named her son Vanity of Vanities, Futility of Futilities. Pasuk Beis. Batosef Loladas es Achiv es Hevel. She continues to give birth his brother Hevel. Hevel is a shepherd. Kayin works the ground. Rav Shamshon Falhush continues, and he sees in their profession some meaning or some impetus for the murder. Agriculture, Kayin's job, demands all of one's physical energies. By the sweat of your brow, b'ze'at apacha tocha lechem, is especially applicable to the tiller of the soil. He must devote his entire physical existence to the ground. Think of a farmer. He has to go according to, I don't know so much about farming, but he has to go according to the seasons and according to the weather. He has to wake up early. He has to know when to plant, when to sow, not in that order, when to till, when to hoe, when to weed, when to fertilize, when to garden, what grows in which season, when to water. He must devote himself totally, says Rav Hirsch, to his physical existence. Self-pride and pride of possession, kayin, kana, are especially predominant in the tiller of the soil. Because what happens after you work so hard? And you have a beautiful crop. The dates are gorgeous, the pomegranates are sweet, you have a bounty of wheat, an overflow of corn. You look at the field and what do you say? Kanisi, look what I acquired. I'm the best farmer since Adam, the pun is intended. Look at how good I am. The ground the farmer fertilizes and works with his own sweat becomes for him of supreme value. The land is part of his personality. He becomes caught up in the land. He settles down in the land. He is a slave, on the other hand, to his field. So on the one hand, you have this great pride, and on the other hand, he's a slave to the field. It lowers him to the level of the soil. He places his neck under the yoke of the burden of farming. This can lead to slavery. The idea that we become subjugated to other elements in life, says Rav Hirsch, can lead to slavery. Agricultural people, says Rav Hirsch, were the first to lose faith in God. So interesting. You see in such a concrete and real way the efforts of your work. So you forget that who's in charge of the rain, and who's in charge of the soil, and who's in charge of the trees, and who's in charge of the growth. You forget. It's so good for me. I must have done this. By contrast, so that gives us an insight into Kayin. Kanisi, I've acquired. I'm a farmer. I'm enslaved to the field. The ability to forget God. It's very interesting to point out that the first time Hashem talks to Kayin and says, if you improve your ways, you will be forgiven. What does Kayin say to God? Nothing. He doesn't answer him. The agricultural people were the first people to forget the Almighty, says Rav Hirsch, and turn to idol worship. On the other hand, his brother Hevel chose a totally different life. There is much advantage in the pastoral life. The shepherd works with living creatures. He extends care to them. There are humane feelings in terms of caring for another living being. His property is movable. He's not tied to one place. He's not tied to the earth. You think of a shepherd who wanders with his flocks from one pasture ground to another. While the flocks need the shepherd's care, their very existence does not depend entirely on him. So without the farmer, without his hard work, the field will be overrun by weeds. You might not get a crop. But the sheep will still be sheep. It doesn't require the same absolute enslavement to your profession. The shepherd is saved from the danger of attaching too much value to his property. His vocation does not drain all his energy. It does not occupy his mind to such a great extent. Hence, our forefathers were shepherds. Moshe, David, Hevel became a shepherd. Kayin is obsessed with kinyan, and he becomes a tiller of the soil. There's a short path from obsession, kanisi, I have acquired, the need to acquire more and more, kinyan, the acquisition of slave, because once man is owner, he needs to feel owner over all, kana, I need slaves to work my field. I am in charge. You see that from kinisi ish, es Hashem, which Rashi says is im Hashem, which Rav Shamsher and Falish says is excessive pride, is transferred onto the persona of Kayan himself. He wants to acquire more and more. He feels proud of what he has. It's all because of him. So what do you think happens when the pride of his work is rejected? That's earth-shattering. Everything I have invested my entire life in, everything that I am so proud of, everything that I have acquired, is not accepted by God. It is interesting, in light of the interpretation of Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch, to consider that the Torah tells us exactly where the murder occurred. In Pasuk Ches, I'm still on page 1 of your handout. In Pasuk Ches, in light of this interpretation that Kayan is one who wants to acquire more and more, who feels that the product of his work is by his hand alone, Kanisi, Kana, Kinyan, Vayomer Kayan al Hevel Achiv, Pasuk Ches, we don't know what he said, Vayihi, Bihiyosem, Basadeh. It is in the place that is the epicenter of the personality of Kayan, of one who strives to do kinyan, kana, acquire more and more, that the murder occurs. You don't really need to know when you think about it where the murder occurs. Why is that significant? Well, if we understand the Kayan personality in light of his attachment to the Sadeh, because he is a farmer, then it makes a lot of sense. He kills him, Dafka, when they were in the field. It represents his obsession with acquisition. That is where the full wrath of Kayan comes to the fore. He perceives that Hevel in some way stands as a blockage, if you will. A road bump, if you will. It's an impediment to his success. You're in my way. If God accepted your offering and he didn't accept my offering, you must be in my way. If I get rid of you, I'll be the good guy. I'll be in God's good books. He rose up from his place, Dafka, in the field, and he killed his brother. They were working quietly in the field, says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, one working his land, the other tending his flock. Suddenly, the appalling idea came to Kayan. He rose up, he went over to Hevel, and he murdered him. Pasuk Gimel tells us, we've spoken about Pasuk Aleph, the names, Pasuk Beis, Vatosef, Laledes, Pasuk Gimel. It was after some days, Kayan brings an offering. Let us see the fascinating Medrash Tanchuma. Please look at your handout. Medrash Tanchuma, Bereishis Tes. We are at the top of page 2. Right. It's actually a lengthy passage. I gave you the whole thing because I thought it was fascinating and I didn't want you to miss out on the story and what the Medrash tells us happened behind the scenes that the Torah does not narrate for us. How old were they? So how old were they when the story takes place? The Medrash tells us right away, 40. So they're not young lads. That's not true. In those days, 40 was very young. Vayave Kayan mipriha adama mahu. What did Kayan bring as an offering? Min mosar ma'achalo. He brought some leftovers. Rashi already told us, min hagarua. It wasn't the choicest crop. It was not such good stuff. Leftover. But the rabbis say, zera pishnan haya, it was flaxseed. The hevel hevi gamhu b'chorosono. Hevel brought from the firstborn of his flock and from their fats. Something's very interesting here. We always say that shatness is one of the chukim par excellence that we cannot understand. Why can't you wear linen and wool together? Who cares? Well, the Torah says, so it's a classic chuk. Well, here, interestingly, the Medrash gives you a reason for it. Lefi chaknesa, tzemer pishtim. That is why flaxseed and wool and flax, wool and linen, have been forbidden. As the Pasuk says in Devarim, you shall not wear shatness, which is a mixture of wool and linen. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Ein Odin sheyis'arev minchas achote and minchas azachai. It is not the din, it is not the law, it is not appropriate that the offering of the sinner should be mixed with the offering of the righteous one. Lefichach nesar. That is why it was forbidden. I'll tell you how I heard this a little differently. It could be a different spin on this. I mean, that's what the Medrash says. You shouldn't mix the mincha of the chota with the mincha of the zakai. A Pesach Krom brings down, and he explains the name of David Kohn. What's the Mr. Haskell from here? Shatness represents strife, which ultimately led to murder. So it's not just that the mincha's a problem, but the fact is that it represents machlokas. And it represents a machlokas that became so heated that it causes murder. which helps us understand why the only personality who wears shyness is the Kohen Gadol in the Big Day Kohuna. He is supposed to be the epitome of Aaron Kohen. And who is Aaron Kohen? Oiv Shom Verodiv Shom Oiv Esabrius and Makarv on the Torah. The Kohen Gadol serves as a tikkun through the midah of shalom, enhancing peace, to the murder that was a result of flax and linen. Flax, linen, slash wool. You with me? Yes, flax is linen. Hevel, sheep, wool. Okay. Vayomer kain al hevel achiv. Ma amar lo. We noted that the pasuk is ambiguous or unfinished. It just says he says something. It does not tell us what he said. What did they say? What were they fighting about? Nechwa ka'olam. Let's divide the world. How many people were there besides their parents? Two. Let's divide the world. Well, the twins also. Okay. But they're girls, so who's getting the inheritance? Kain and Hevel. V'ani b'char v'etol pishnayim. I am the oldest one, says Kain. So I get a double portion. Amar lo Hevel, efshar. Hevel says, I have to think about it. Maybe we'll divide the land. Maybe we won't divide the land. Amar lo Kain, if we're dividing the land, ani no tel yoser chelet al chalki. I'm taking an extra portion. I'm the Bechar. I get Pishnaim. What's my extra portion? Milkom shenit kaba bal karbanecha. Which portion do I want as extra? The place where your carbon was accepted? I want that piece of land. Amar lo Hevel. So what did Hevel say? Lo Tital, you're not getting my portion. But al davar zeh nafla ketata b'neihem. An argument fell between them. Shenamer v'ayihiyam b'yosem b'sada. So they're arguing about who's getting the earth. You get this part, I get this part, that's fine, but I'm Bechar, I get Pishnayim. So I'm getting the place where your carbon was accepted. Hevel says, I don't think so. V'yesh omrim, third paragraph, sha'amar kain lehevel, nafla ka'olam, let's divide the world. Amar lohein, good idea. Natal Hevel Tsono, so Hevel takes the flocks, kain adama la'avod, kain takes the ground, they made an agreement. We're not going to have a claim against each other. You get the flocks, I get the ground, we're going to agree to this. However, Hevel starts to pasture his flocks, he starts to pasture. Kayan chases after him. Mehar lebika, umibika lahar, from the mountain to the valley, valley to the mountain. Look at this, please, look with me. I'm in paragraph 3. Ad shenis achazu zebazad. They catch up with one another. They have hold of one another. Look at this. V'natzach hevel al kayin v'nafel tachtav. Who has the upper hand? What does the Medrash say? Hevel. V'natzach hevel al kayin. Who's the victor right now? Who's on top and who's on the bottom? Hevel. They made an agreement. You take the flocks, you take the land. They signed on the dotted line. We're not going to fight about it. Sometimes agreements mean nothing. They start quarreling. They're chasing. Kayan's chasing Hevel. Hevel has the upper ground. When Kayan sees that he's on the ground, he tchilt soveach. Hevel achi al ta'aseh bira'ah. Kayan screaming for mercy. Hevel, my brother, please don't do anything to me. Do you hear what's happening? Who had the upper hand? Hevel. Who's on the ground and about to be beaten? Kayan. When Kayan sees what's going on, he starts screaming. And what does he say? He doesn't just say Hevel. Look what he says. Hevel, achi, please treat me like a brother. Don't do anything bad to me. V'richem alav. Hevel had mercy. V'hinicho, he left him alone. The Amar, Kayin gets up, the Harago, and kills his brother. That's why the pasuk says, Vayakam Kayin, Miklal Shenafal. The Medrash is explaining, why does it say, and Kayin got up? What does it mean he got up? He was down. He was about to be the loser. He was about to be the defeated. Hevel Achi, you're my brother. Don't do this to me. So Hevel has mercy on him. Vayakam Kayin. Kayin gets up and he murders his brother. Kevan Shahar, I'll go. Amar Evrach Mipnei Avi V'Imi. I have to run away from father and mother. Fourth paragraph. She'ein mevakshim oso ala mimeni. They're not going to ask anybody where Hevel is except for me. Who else would know where he is besides for me? Mother and father are going to say, where is he? She'ein achad ba'olam ala ani v'hu. There was no one in the world besides for me and him. Miyad nigo alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he's afraid of his parents. So who appears to him? The Almighty. And he says, from your forefathers, you think you can run away? From me, you cannot run away. As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, if a man hides in hidden places, will I not see him? And God said to him, where is Hevel your brother? And he said, and then God continues and says, Vailo, woe unto Hevel, Sharichim Alecha. He had mercy on you, Velo Hargacha. He did not kill you and you fell under him. You got up and you killed him. Person has to know when to have mercy and when our mercy is misplaced. And we have to be very careful not to have mercy upon our enemies who come to kill us. Because Hevel had mercy on the one who chased him from mountain to valley and valley to mountain to kill him because he was so angry about the carbon, what ended up happening? He had misplaced compassion. Vailo, says God. Woe unto him that he had mercy on you. How did he kill him? 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth paragraph. V'ha'echargo. How did he kill him? Asalo pitzios, pitzios, chaburos, chaburos, be'even, be'yadav, ragav. He made injury after injury, bruise after bruise, with a stone, with his hand, with his feet. Sho'ohaya yodea me'echa nishmaso yotes. He didn't know how to kill him. From which opening, from which place in his body does his soul leave him? I don't know. Until he came to his neck. God said, where is Hevel your brother? He says, I don't know. Hashomer achi anochi? Am I the watchman for my brother? And then look what he answers God. Third line of this paragraph. Atah hu shomer kol abrios. You're the guardian of all creations. Atah mevakshom yadi? I should know where he is? You're the shomer. You should know where he is. So now the Medrash brings us a mashal. And the Medrash says there's a mashal, a parable, to a robber who stole vessels, utensils, in the middle of the night. He wasn't caught. In the morning, tafso hashoer. The gatekeeper catches up to him, and the gatekeeper says, why did you steal these kelim? Why did you steal these vessels? Amar lo, ani ganav. V'lo hinachti umanusi. I'm a robber. This is my profession. I did my job. Avalata. But you, your profession is to guard the gate. Why did you not do your job? It's a mashal. Yeah, it's pretty chutzpahdik, but in a little bit of a way, there's a little bit of an argument here. That's what Cain's trying to do. Argue with God. Listen, my job is a goniv. I stole things. I stole someone's life. Your job is to be a shomer sha'ar. Your job is to be a gatekeeper. I just did my profession. Why didn't you do your profession? Af Kayin Kachamar, Kayin said, I killed him, Barasa bi Yetzahara. But you, God, put within me an evil inclination. The Gemara says, Bechol Yam Vayam Yitzo Shal Adam Miskaber Alav, Ve Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shal Ozerlo, Eino Yachalo. For me, it should say, Bechol Sha'ah V'Sha'ah. Bechol Yam Vayam. Each and every day. The evil inclination of a person is mitkaber, strives to overcome the person. If not for God who would help him, he would not be successful. So Cain says, listen, I may have killed him, but you created within me a yetzer hara. You are the guardian of everything. You didn't stop me. You let me kill him. Therefore, af ata shaharagto. It's as if you are responsible for Hevel's death. If you would have accepted my carbon like you accepted his carbon, I wouldn't have been jealous. So what's he saying? It's not my fault. I'm not responsible. You really killed him. You should have accepted my carbon. You're the shomer. I'm a fallible human being. I have a yetzahara. Who gave me a yetzahara? You gave me a yetzahara. You didn't even put the ability within me to overcome my yetzahara at this very moment. You were the shomer. I kept to my job. You did not stick to your job. 1 minute, please. Immediately, God says, what did you do? The bloods of your brother are screaming from me. From here, you learn because it says, demei achicha, and not dam achicha. Do you see that? He made in him many injuries. Many bruises. Demei achicha. He was bleeding from many places. I want to finish the Medrash, please, before I stop for any comments. So Akim Eli, very interesting. The pasuk tells us, if you look where Hashem says, "What did you do?" One second. In pasuk Yud, it would be on your first page. Kol demei achicha. So Akim Eli min ha'adama. I'm in pasuk Yud. The bloods of your brother are screaming to me from the earth. So Akim Eli, screaming towards me. Medrash says, "So Akim Alai, screaming about me or upon me." God says. Why are the bloods of Hevel screaming about God or towards God? So the Medrash says it's a mashal. Two who had a quarrel, one killed the other. But there was a third person standing there. He didn't try and separate them. So who does everybody talk about? Who does everybody blame? Who does everybody say, why didn't you do something? Lo el shlishi? Is it not the third party who just stood there and did nothing? Therefore, demei achicha tzoakim elai tzoakim Allah. God stood there, the Medrash says, and didn't break up the quarrel. Therefore, the bloods are screaming, Hevel screaming to the Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak. Ribono Shel Olam, why did you let him do this to me? Amar Lo Kayin, two more paragraphs, one is just a sentence, very bottom of page two. Now, without the Medrash and without Chazal, we know nothing of this story. We only know those 16 psukim that we looked at in the beginning. One is jealous, the offering's not accepted. Now we're beginning to understand the significance of the field, according to Rav Shamshon Falhirsch. We're beginning to understand the significance of the names, Kayin, Kanisi, Kana. I want more and more. Anyone who I view as an impediment at my acquisition of more and more has to be gotten rid of. By the way, that's not only true of antiquity. You understand that that's human nature. Rachmana Litzlan, I don't really understand exactly how it works, but Ponzi schemes, what are people doing? They're trying to acquire more and more to the detriment of anybody else. Anyone who stands in my way needs to be trampled upon. Anyone who stands in my way needs to be gotten rid of. Even if it means to the point of death, ani nechshav kemeis, and I rob them of everything they have, if it means I acquire more. I focus on kanisi, I have acquired, I forgot about the Ribono Shel Olam. Anyone who's in my way needs to be put a stop to. This is not only a story of antiquity. Are you beginning to understand that? The feelings, the emotions, the arguments are things that recur very much in our day and our time as well. Kayin and Hevel and their story is unfortunately alive and well in a society where people want to acquire more and more. And when you view yourself as a failure and not a success, Kayin understood that his whole work is a failure. He's working to acquire the field and be proud of who he is, and yet he sees himself as a failure because God turns to heaven and his offering. Well, you need to put a stop to anyone who stands in your way. Amar Kayin Ribono Shel Olam. Kayin said, Master of the universe, lo yadati v'lo ra'isi harug mi'amai. Last sentence on page 2. I never saw death, I never saw a dead person, I never saw murder in my life. Was I supposed to know that if I hit him with a stone, he would die? That seems like a pretty lame argument. He hit him in many places with a stone, with his fist. He tried to get rid of him. You are more cursed than the ground. Amar Lefanov. Top of page 3, please. Fascinating. Just fascinating. Amar Lefanov Ribono Shel Olam. He said, Master of the universe, Leish Lefanecha, Dil Torin Shemal Shinin Es Adam Lefanecha, are there informers who denounce men before you? My father and my mother are in the ground. They don't even know that I killed. You are in the heavens. How do you know? Is there an informer who told you that I killed someone? How do you even know that I killed? My father and my mother don't know. Amar Lo Shota, God said, you fool. I am Sovel. I uphold. I bear the burden of the entire world. He says, so you bear the burden of the entire world and you can't bear my burden? You understand? A little bit of reverse psychology. God, how do you know that I killed? My father and my mother don't know that I killed. God says, you fool, I bear the burden of the whole world. So Kain says, aha, you bear the whole world. You can't bear my little one sin. Gadol avoni minsoa. Is my sin really too great to bear, God? Look at the last lines of the Medrash, please. Amar lo ho'il v'ho'desa v'asisa teshuva. Look what God says to him. Since you confess and you repented, you will have your life. Your punishment is you should go into galus from your place, just like someone who kills b'shogeg goes to the ir miklah. Run away from here. You're a nomad, run away. And Kayad ran away. It's a fascinating piece of Medrash. Unbelievable insights into the story of a Kayin in heaven. In a sense, he did teshuvah. What teshuvah did he do? Rav Salvation explains he had hirhurei teshuvah, thoughts of repentance. He starts to feel a little bit sorry. He starts to think, you know, maybe I really should not have murdered my brother. Maybe I have to run away from my parents. Imagine the agmas nefesh that it will cause them. Hirhurei teshuvah, say Chazal, can be equated with teshuvah itself. At first, at least a man feels some fleeting thought of repentance. And even this is accepted by God. Yes.
Second, I need water and I can't hear you at all. How do you say that he had your Because he says, the Yerushalayim is Gadol Avoni Minsoa.
That's when he realizes he's almost talking to himself. Is my sin too great to bear? Maybe this wasn't a good idea. That declaration, that statement, Gadol Avoni, I sinned. Okay, but I sinned. Someone who doesn't even have Yerushalayim Teshuva does not even know that he sinned. There's a vidui here. There's an oral confession. One second, please. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvaro. The fact that he says that I sinned is a declaration of hirhurei teshuvah. That's part of teshuvah. We have to at least acknowledge. It's one of the stages of teshuva according to the Rambam. There's aziva sacheid, there is harata. He expresses harata here. And then there is the vidui, the oral confession. Yeah. Talk louder. Well, he said that before he said Gadol Avoni Minsoa. One second, please. One second. No, that's before Hashem gives him tochacha. He accepts the tochacha of God. He said, the first thing he says is he tries to deflect away from the sin, which is exactly what his father did. Adam, did you eat from the fruit? She gave it to me. Did you eat from the fruit? Then Nachash persuaded me and I sinned. But Adam never comes to the point where he says, God, Gadol Avoni Minso. Adam never says, I sinned. And that's why they have all those punishments and death. Cain gets off easier. Kayin has here hooray teshuvah, which is expressed in his verbal confession that at least he sinned. And therefore, it shows us the rachamim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So now we bring another element into our shir, which shows us how powerful is the mercy of God for his sinful creatures. I want to go on. I really want to go on. Last comment. Okay, we need to look it up. I believe you. I don't have it right in front of me now. I can't verify. I'm not sure what you're referring to. Okay? Okay. Let's go on. Okay. Let's talk about Pasuk Hey. Sin emanates from two sources. Pasuk Hey. Ve'al Kayin ve'al Minchaso lo sha'a. To Kayin and to his offering God did not turn. And I pointed out at the beginning that there are two different emotions at play here. There is anger and there is despondency. Anger and despondency are not the same emotion. Sometimes they're very much related, sometimes they're not. Kayin goes through both of these emotions. Rav Salavechuk says sin emanates from two sources. Sin can result from anger and arrogance, which manifests with anger. An angry person is really an arrogant person. Why are they angry? I'm right. Focus on, you did something wrong. This isn't how I told you to do it. It didn't go my way. I'm angry you're late. I'm angry you spilled. I'm angry you messed up my carpet. I'm angry you ruined the tablecloth. I'm angry. Anger emanates from arrogance. This ties into his name, Kayin, Kanisi, Kinyan. When confronted with God's rejection of his offering, continues with Salvechuk, Kayin could not accept the rebuke. He maintained, because he is a person of I, of anger, of arrogance, his own understanding was always unerring, even in religious matters. Cain held that he was always correct. It goes with the whole personality, the way we are understanding him here. However, there is an opposite type of sinner, vayiplu panav. And sometimes sin results not from anger and arrogance, but from self-negation. Lowliness. I'm a shmata. God didn't even want my offering. I worked so hard to grow the flaxseed. I spent my whole life farming. It was rejected. I must be such a terrible, awful person. Vayiplu panav is the opposite of vayichar. Vayichar l'kain represents arrogance, and vayiplu panav represents self-negation. This type of sinner feels subservient to everything and everyone. Here he feels subservient to Cain. That's exactly what he feels. He is a spiritual wanderer. He doesn't know where to put himself. He feels in such a place of lowliness that he is compelled to sin because he has no self-worth. You understand how self-negation leads to sin? I'm such an idiot. Excuse me. God doesn't want anything from me. No, if he doesn't want my offering, he doesn't want my prayer, he doesn't want me to do achnasas arachim, he doesn't want me to go to shul, he doesn't want me to give tzedakah, because I'm so lowly, Hashem wants nothing from me. Arrogance and anger lead to sin, but self-negation and despondency and self-rejection also lead to sin. Which feelings does Cain have? Both. The Ar HaChaim HaKadosh actually teaches that there were three reasons. I'm still in Pasuk Hey. We're talking about the two emotions that he experiences. So the Ar HaChaim HaKadosh teaches, I didn't give it to you on your hand, but I'm telling it to you outside. Three reasons, you're welcome to look it up. But inside, Vayichal HaKayin Me'od Vayiplu Fanav. First of all, he was angry, his brother's offering was accepted. His face fell, his offering was rejected. So according to the Ar HaChaim HaKadosh, we're going through three reasons why he has these emotions. The anger is that his brother's offering was accepted. The despondency is that his offering was rejected. Second, he was angry that his offering was not accepted because he thought, this is what the Ar HaChaim HaKadosh says, there was no hashkacha in the world. God is not mashkiach. He's not watching. But when he saw his brother, offering was accepted, he realized there was hashkacha, but God didn't want him. And that made him despondent. He's angry that there's no hashkacha. But when he sees his brother's offering is accepted, he feels depressed that he was not accepted, because Havel proves there's hashkacha. You with me? Yes? And the third reason is, the sages teach, or HaChaim HaKadosh quotes the Zohar, Kol HaKo'es, anyone who becomes angry, Nishmato Mistalaket Mibenu, his soul leaves him. Anyone who becomes angry, his soul leaves him. The Ar HaChaim quotes the Zohar. Once a person's soul leaves him, says Ar HaChaim, his tzalem alokim, his godly image leaves him too. Therefore, vayichal l'kayin ma'od, he became angry. What does it mean, vayiplu panav? The godly image within left him as a result of his anger. When a person becomes angry, says the Zohar, it's as if their neshama has left. The neshama is a chelek alokai mima. Vayichal l'kayin ma'od, because he becomes angry, the godly essence within him leaves, and that is reflected in the falling of his face. Turn to Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. What were they arguing about? The Medrash is now going to talk about Pasuk Ches. Because Pasuk Ches, we said, is very ambiguous. What were they arguing about from the level of the Torah text? Do we know? Well, do we know, let me rephrase that. Do we know what Cain said to Hevel right before he killed him? The answer is no. The Medrash gives us three possible things that he said to him that they were arguing about right before the murder. Vayomer Cain Hevel, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Chaf Beis Zayin. Vayomer Cain Hevel, Achi Vayi Beosim Basadeh, Amahayu Medayinim. What are they arguing about? What is the judgment about? Amru, they said, let's split up the world. Echad natal hakarkaos, Cain takes the land. Echad natal eshamitaltalin, Hevel takes the movable property. This goes back with their profession. Cain's a farmer, he takes the land. Hevel's a shepherd, takes movable property. Dein Amar, So what happens? Listen, everybody. If Kayin takes the land, what does that mean about where Hevel's standing? Hevel's standing on Kayin's property. And what does it mean about the clothing that Kayin's wearing? It belonged to Hevel. Dein Amar, this is Aramaic, but it makes sense. Kayin, one says, Ara da'at ka'im Allah, Ara is land, Ara, the Bavel, Ara b'Yisrael, the land where you are standing, and Didi, you're on my land. V'dein Amar, and Hevel says, Ma da'at lavesh Didi, well, you know what? I may be on your land, but your shirt, it's mine. Dein Amar, chalots, beis chalots hanal. What does chalots mean? Yibam, beis chalots hanal. Chalitza. What does he have to do if he doesn't want to marry the woman? Remove his shoe. Dein Amar, so Havel says, chalots, take off your clothing. You're wearing my clothing. The Dein Amar, and Kayin says, parach, what should you do? Fly, because you're standing on my land. Mitoch kach vayakam kayin al Havel achi vayargeim. Once they went through this whole back and forth, there's no resolution here, because he's not flying, and he's not getting naked, he kills him. Rabbi Yeshua de Chsinin, Rabbi Yeshua from Chsinin, says the name of Rabbi Levi, he says something else. Shneihim natlu es hakarkaos. That's not what they were fighting about. They both took the land. Ushneihim natlu es hametaltelin. They divided up the land, they divided up the movable property. So what were they arguing about? The Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash. Zeh Omer B'tchumi, Beis HaMikdash Nivne. One says, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on my property. Vizeh Omer B'tchumi, Beis HaMikdash Nivne. And that one says, the Beis HaMikdash will be built in my property. Shenemar, how do we know this? How does the Medrash know this? Vayihi B'yosem B'sada. Ein Sada Ela Beis HaMikdash. How do we know they're arguing about the Sada, the field of Tzion? Because the Beis HaMikdash is called Tzion. And from this, Kayin got up and killed Hevel. Third opinion of what they were arguing about. Yehuda bar Amei Amar, Achava harishona hayu midayinin. They're arguing about the first Chava. Okay, let me just explain to you that the Medrash teaches, Bereishis Rabbah 18:4, Yod Ches Daled, first God created Achava when Adam was awake. I looked up the Medrash, it's very interesting. I saw it inside. She was full of blood and mucus, says the Medrash, and Adam was not attracted to her. That's Chava Rishona. God put Adam to sleep and created another Chava. Okay. I'm just putting that out there. It's not for the purposes of our shiur today to explore that further. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah Yud Ches Daled. They're arguing about the first Chava. However, Rabbi Avayu says the first Chava was put back to dust. What were they arguing about? The twin sister born with Hevel. Okay. They're either arguing about who gets the land and who gets the movable property, or they're arguing about where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, or they're arguing about a woman. So Shmuel Golden has a beautiful commentary on this Medrash. Over the course of, he says, what are the rabbis teaching us? What are the rabbis teaching us? Kayin Hevel arguing about the Beis HaMikdash. They're arguing about Chava, Rishona. What are they talking about? Over the course of human history, man has killed brother over three things. Material gain, over religion, and over lust. Murder stems over the course of human history. Over one thing. Over one of three things. Or a combination. Over material gain, over religion, or over lust. All bloodshed and all warfare can be traced back to these three basic primary sources. So the rabbis are saying, you want to know what they were arguing about? Any one of the three. Which one? We're not going to decide. Because it could have been any one of the three. The rabbinic commentary here serves as a sobering reminder, says Rabbi Golden. Mankind has not moved one inch off the killing field. In spite of perceived social progress, nothing has fundamentally changed. Remember I said earlier that the arguments and the strife and the murder of Kayin and Hevel are still alive and well today. This just enhances what we have already said. The Medrash remains sadly relevant centuries later. If the 20th century gave lie to any assumption at all, It's the assumption that science and technology and progress will be accompanied by moral advancement as well. The century that gave us the Holocaust serves to remind us that in many ways we have only gotten better and more efficient at killing each other over these three basic reasons: religion, land, property, material gain, wealth, and lust, women. The Torah specifically edits out the contents of Cain's words. It wants us to understand the words are irrelevant. Whatever he said does not matter. There is no excuse or justification for the sin, for the murder. Maybe he was right, but that's not the point. God wants us to know Cain said something to Hevel, but what he said ultimately does not matter. In the last few minutes that we have, I want to offer my own understanding of the murder here, if I may do so. Something struck me. This whole shiur started because of Baruch Pokeach Ivrim, what I noticed when I was reading the Pesukim. Please go back to page 1. Adam knew Chava, his wife, Pasuk Aleph. She conceives, she gives birth, and she says, Konisi Ish Es Hashem. Note the name of Hashem in Cain's name and with his naming. There is no name of God in Hevel's name. Pasuk Gimel. It is after a period of days. Vayave Cain. Cain brings an offering. Min Chala Hashem. He's offering something to the Almighty. Hevel, Pasuk Dal, thinks this is a good idea. Note it doesn't say anything about Hevel offering to Hashem. It says that Cain, whose name contains Shem Hashem, brings an offering to Hashem. Hevel thinks this is a good idea. He also brings an offering. Lacking is Hashem, the address, the destination. And yet, God turns to Hevel's offering, Pasuk Daled, the commentators all speak about it. No, Vayisha, Vayosh Hashem El Hevel, the El Mincha. So who does God choose first? Forget the Mincha, he chooses the personality of Hevel over the personality of Cain. Do you know that? I haven't pointed that out yet in the Shir. Who does God turn to? Hevel and his offering. Who does he not turn to? Cain. Cain as a personality is rejected. Cain's upset. He's angry and he's upset. Then we come to Pasuk Vav Zion. And Hashem says to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you despondent? Isn't that true? If you improve, you will be forgiven. If you don't improve, sin crouches at the door. Its longing of the Yetzer Hara is towards you, but you can rule over it. Pasuk Ches. Cain says to Hevel, his brother, we don't know why. When they're in the field, he gets up and he kills him. So I'm going to ask you something. Rhetorical question. Shouldn't Pasuk Vav and Zion come after Pasuk Ches? And this is the impetus for this entire shir. What are Vav and Zion doing pre-Pasuk Ches? What has Cain done wrong that God says to him, if you improve, you will be forgiven, but if you don't improve, sin crouches at the door? Then Pasuk Ches is, Cain gets up and kills his brother. So shouldn't it tell us what happens? He accepts Hevel and his offering. He rejects Cain and his offering. They're in the field. Someone says something. He kills him. And God comes and says, Im teitiv se'es. You have to do teshuva. What are Pasuk Vav and Zion doing before the murder? What is God saying you need to repent from? What has he even done wrong? So he's a little angry. So his face fell. Do you understand the kasha? No? Okay, I'm going to try and explain it one more time. I don't have time for questions and comments. We're trying to understand what's the real sin. Maybe the real sin is not the murder. Maybe the real sin is something else. And what cues us into that? The fact that Pasuk Vav and Zion, when God encourages him to repent, I don't have time for questions right now. I'll take them after. The fact that God encourages him to repent is even before the incident in the field. That means something is very wrong with Cain that needs teshuvah before Pasuk Ches. What is the real root of the sin here? Is the real sin the murder? Or is the murder a manifestation of the root of sin? And that's what it seems to be that the Torah is telling us. because Pasuk Vav and Zion seem to be very out of place. He murdered his brother. Now God should come and say, listen, you murdered somebody, so I'm telling you, if you repay, you'll be forgiven. But if not, sin crouches at the door. Perhaps the Torah is teaching us a profundity we cannot afford to ignore. The beginning of sin, the beginning of failure. Rav Soloveitchik says, Chatasi, chait does not mean I sin, it means I failed. The beginning of failure, the beginning of our fall, occurs with anger and the falling of the face. When we are angry at others, when we are angry at God, when we are despondent about our position, when we are depressed about our future, I'm not speaking about clinical depression, do not extrapolate anything from here about medical science. I'm talking about a normal, healthy, mentally well human being who feels feelings of anger and despondency in the moment. When we are hopeless, when we see ourselves as failures and others around us as threats, when we can't pull ourselves out of a negative state of mind, we will inevitably fall and fail. From negativity comes sin. And therefore, the minute God sees, so to speak, Vayichar l'Kayin Ma'od, Kayin is angry, Vayiplu Panav, his face has fallen. That is Dafka, when the Baal Sholem comes and says, you better do Teshuvah right now. You're just a little too angry. You're just a little too self-afflicting. You're a little too negative. And I'm telling you now, says God, pick yourself up right now. Because if you don't, the results will be disastrous. Dafka here, God says, you need to do teshuvah. And what happens? He doesn't answer God. We see no indication that he repents from these feelings of anger and despondency. And therefore, the next pasuk is pasuk ches. He says something. What does he say? It doesn't matter. He says negative words that stem from anger. And I want to ask you a question. Isn't that true? Think of times when someone has been angry at you. I don't mean a little man. I mean really angry. If you've ever been screamed at from a person of anger, it doesn't matter what they're really saying. But their emotions speak loud and clear. They're coming from such a place of anger and wrath that the words don't matter. And therefore the Torah omits the words. It doesn't matter exactly what Kayin said. It's from a place of Vayichar l'Kayin Ma'od Vayiplu Panav. And that leads, Rachmana Litzlan, to murder. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, your final sources, Shammai says, make your Torah learning permanent, say a little and do a lot. You should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. Avos, Paragimel, Mishnah Yud Beis, Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael says, be yielding, Heve Kal Le Rosh, Rosh indicates an elderly person, be yielding to an elderly person, V'noach Lisish Chores, be pleasant to a young person, someone who's hair is shachar, black, V'heve Mekabal Eskola Adam B'simcha. And you should greet every person Bisimcha. Bartanura says, Bein neged kol adam, Bein rosh, Bein bitish chores, whether it's an elderly person or whether it is a young person, ta'amod bisimcha, ta'amod, get up with joy towards other people. Hashem says to Kain two times, lama. Lama charalach, v'lama naflu panecha. Last two psukim on your handout. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch tells us in Tehillim, Perichov Beis, Pasuk Beis, you don't have to read it Lama. You can also read it Lema. What does Lema mean? For what purpose? Perhaps God is saying to Kayin, Lema Charalach. Why? For what purpose does your anger serve? V'lama, Lema Naflu Panecha. What purpose does your fallen face serve? It serves, it's a rhetorical question. It serves no purpose. Lema, is there a purpose to your anger? Is there a purpose to your fallen face? The choice, Kayin, is yours. Lepetach chatas rovitz. Sin is crouching there at the door, and the beginning of his downfall is not the incident in the field. It's how he feels, how negative and angry he feels when he goes into the field. And that's what leads to murder. You know, the only choice we often have in life is how we react to the situations around us. Cain seems to have done everything right. His name includes Shem Hashem. His offering is to Hashem. He is the Bechor. He had the idea to bring the Mincha first. For some divine reason that man can't understand, God does not turn to him. We cannot control, 99% of the time, we cannot control our external environment or what happens to us. The only thing we can control is how we respond to what happens to us. Cain responds in a negative fashion, and that's the root of his sin. You need to repent. You need to pick yourself back up, because if you do, you'll be forgiven. For anger and fallen face directed at the perceived foe will never yield results. We have hope. We can rule over it. It's a hard avoda, but it can be done. I hope we have shed some interesting light into the story of Cain and Hevel, but in understanding that it's not only a story of antiquity, it is a story that lives on within us and around us. We should always have the foresight to be able to overcome the feelings that bring us and mankind down. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day. And a Shavua Tov.